This is Turn One Thoughtsies. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Zach.
And this is our special BattleBond preview mini episode. We were gifted with not one, but two preview cards, one for each head of the giant that you will be expected to play in BattleBond.
Yeah, man.
So for anybody who has missed it, BattleBond is the summer draft set. Conspiracy 2, that sort of feel. This one is focused on two-headed giant. So it's meant to be drafted in pairs, played in pairs. And looks like a pretty interesting format so far. They have been knocking it out of the park in terms of like reprints of staples, a couple neat cards for Legacy. Like, just there's a lot of cool stuff out there. Check out all the other spoilers. Thank you, obviously, to Blake and everybody from Wizards for giving us these previews to show off. And we got two modern staples which are being reprinted in this set. The one that I'm going to talk about is Beast Within. So two and a green for an instant. Destroy target permanent. Its controller creates a 3/3 green beast creature token.
Man, this card is awesome.
Yeah, it's... So it's one of those things where you don't really think about how powerful the line of text destroy target permanent really is, because most of the time this gets played as a 3-mana instant speed Stone Rain,
which by itself is messed up, right?
Right, in green, no less, is still very strong. It's a integral part of Living End because the token is just a non-cost, right? Like, all you're going to do is put them off for a turn or two, whatever, maybe you take three, take a beat, who cares, and then boom, go off Living End, token dies, you get all your stuff back, and off to the races. It also sees some sideboard play. It'll show up in Bogle sideboards every once in a while. Titan Shift, Tron will run it.
Shift is where I saw it. I've seen it the most out of those. I mean, it's a main deck awesome card in Living End, but I've seen it fairly routinely in Titan Shift, just because it's so easy for them to deal with a 3/3.
Right. Oh yeah, and it's totally right. It's the same thing. They're just looking to combo off. They need to keep you off of your whatever Blood Moon, Planeswalker that you can't deal with. Some hate piece.
You don't, yeah, exactly. You could have any number of hate pieces you got to get through post board, and you don't know what that is, and it just says destroy target permanent, so it's super versatile. It's very nice.
Yeah. Also, I think early on, the creatures were kind of a little bit smaller, so the 3/3 felt worse. But now, like in the world of Thought Not Seers and Gurmag Ganglers, and even, I mean, stuff that sees a ton of play, like Bedlam Reveler right now.
Yep. Hollow One, 0-mana, yeah, 4/4s.
Hollow One. We're playing 0-mana, 4/4s, then, you know, having your opponent get a 3/3 is not really a big deal. So, I'm a huge fan of this card. I love the original art. I like, it was cool. It was very, very new Phyrexia flavored. They changed it in the first time it got reprinted in a dual deck. It got new art by Jesper Elsing, who is one of my favorite Magic artists on top of that. And then it shows up in a lot of supplemental draft sets because it is a good, it's just a good like all around card to have available in a draft set so that people can be able to deal with miscellaneous permanents, right? Like, it opens up space within that draft format to,
yes,
you know, have something where it's not like the bombiest bomb just can't be answered by anything.
Yeah, well, In draft, it's like even more interesting because it's premium removal, right? But it's also like a 3-3 when you need that. Like late game, you can just destroy your own land that's kind of useless at this point. You just got a 3-3.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know, ambush something in combat or something.
Bogles, right? You said it yourself before we started recording. I was like, oh man, what are they using Bogles for? You were like, oh man, you beast within your own Rancor, get a free 3-3.
Yeah, it's
kind of sweet. Rancor goes back to your hand, and then you can recast it. You get a 6-3 trample.
Yep.
I'm into it. I'm actually pretty excited about that. So
well, that's the cool thing is just like destroy target permanent just gives you so many options. Like just look at the battlefield like at any point in time. There's a bunch of permanents on it, right?
Yep. Nice Ugin, nice land, nice anything except Chalice on 3.
Yeah. That's not good against Chalice on 3.
That's a rough one. But everything else, pretty straight.
Yep.
All right, so that is just about what I have to say for Beast Within. Tell me some more about the one that we divvied up for you.
Okay, so this one's a big deal, guys. This is a really sweet preview, and I'm just gonna go into it. All right, so for as long as it's been modern, there has been a certain one and a green. Star plus one, and that card has terrorized modern players.
I would agree with that statement, yes.
And we call that card the Tarmogoyf. And for a very long time, there was no spell that traded very well with Tarmogoyf. You could bolt it if there was nothing in the graveyards, and that generally didn't work out very well for you.
Always check the graveyard.
Right, yeah, that didn't work out very well. You could path to exile it, but they got their land, so, you know, you kind of went down a card and gave them a free rampant growth, which isn't great. There was no fatal push yet, so you couldn't really trade up on mana for it. I mean, you could Doomblade it, you know, once Return to Ravnica came out, you could Abrupt Decay it, but, you know, there wasn't really a good way to deal with Tarmogoyf, except... There was our second preview card, which is the Spell Snare.
Yes.
The, in my opinion, the best one mana counterspell in Modern. It's been a staple of the format for as long as the original Ravnica sets have been in. I believe it was originally printed in Dissension.
Yes. And we 2006 for anyone keeping track. So at 12 years old, this card has its own opinions, has its own feelings. You can probably stay home by itself.
Yep.
Maybe not all night, but probably until 10.
Well, and this is only the third printing of it, too, right? Like, it was printed in Dissension. It was printed in the original Modern Masters, which was a pretty small set or print run. And then it's printed here.
Yep. And and also, like, not for nothing, the original Modern Masters was 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Oh, it was longer than that at this point, right? Wasn't it like...
No, 2013.
2013? Okay, sure. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, this card needed a reprint bad, but, yeah, I mean, in terms of modern play, Spell Snare has always been Blue's answer to Tarmogoyf. You know, there's always been this kind of counterplay where Blue has always wanted a removal spell in modern. Generally, you leaned on Lightning Bolt, but there's a lot of times you leaned on Path to Exile. And as it just so happens, you know, Path to Exile ramps your opponent, and it made all of the, you know, make your opponent pay more mana type counter spells, like a Spell Pierce or a Mana Leak, just very bad in blue-white decks. So blue-white has generally leaned on Spell Snare as their counter spell. It's usually been like a Spell Snare, Path to Exile, Cryptic Command split. And it's great. I don't have a lot of other ways to describe it other than what it trades with, but it trades up. It always trades up on mana, which is awesome with it. You know, you can't counter anything except unless it casts or costs two, right? So, you know, your Spell Snare costs one, it costs two. Counters Thalia, counters Chalice of the Void on one. Counters Snapcaster Mage, counters Tarmogoyf, counters Young Pyromancer, counters Dark Confidant. It counters a lot of spells that are a lot better than Spell Snare, so...
Yes. So for reference, for those keeping track at home, minus Abrupt Decay, I can't think of any other 2-mana spells off the top of my head that can't be countered, but there are 2,334 cards that Spell Snare will counter in the modern format.
That's insane. It's a lot.
So, you know, a lot of these types of cheapy counter spells, right, like have a type restriction. And I think that's one of the things that, like, that keeps Negate, Essence Scatter, like those kinds of less flexible spells from seeing, like nobody's main decking like Essence Scatter.
Yep.
I guess you could make an argument for main decking some number of negates, but I don't know. I'm not a counterspell guy.
You can definitely play main deck negate, but again, I mean, we had this big talk on counterspells and discard spells last week, right? And the fact that Spell Snare is always tempo positive, where they are always spending more mana on what you're countering than you are, is just what makes it so good. I mean, there are definitely times where they don't have 2-mana spells in their deck, and that can be pretty bad for this card.
Sure.
The one that comes to mind is, well, Living End, which you mentioned with
it's a dead within. Card. Yeah,
it doesn't counter anything there.
But in fairness, like, you've got a lot of dead cards against Living End anyways, so
yeah, it's kind of Living End's plan there.
Throw another one on the top of the barbecue isn't really a big deal.
Yeah. It's also been historically pretty bad against Birds of Paradise decks that are heavy on threes.
Right.
Was a lot better before Coco when people were playing Birthing Pod, but it is one of the best cards in the Blue Mirrors. Anytime you can snare a Snapcaster Mage or snare a Brawl, you're living your best life. So,
well, I'm as you're talking, I'm just sort of scrolling through some of the stuff like Arcbound Ravager, Brawl.
Oh yeah. It's countered Cranial Plating and Arcbound Ravager as long as Modern's existed.
Like,
this card's awesome.
Blighted Agent.
Sure.
Not so much Bajuka Brigand, but he's on there. Boros Charm.
Yeah, I was going to say Boros Charm. I've countered a lot of Lightning Helixes, a lot of Skull Cracks.
Yep. Helices.
Cranial Plating. Cranial Plating is a big one, man. Anytime you can counter a Cranial Plating with a Spell Snare, you feel like you did it.
Yeah, well, and you did, and the thing that you did is keep from dying.
True.
So
I mean, that's what it does, right? Spell Snare is this, like, kind of good card that just counters a lot of cards that are way better than it in Modern. The best answer to the Legendary 2 cycle in Modern, and bonus points that it hits the Ravager, so.
Yeah, I think Ravager is, like, just such a, like, Ravager and Blighted Agent, like, really stick out to me as stuff that's just insanely good.
Yeah, I mean, Tarmogoyf, Dark Confidant, Bob.
Sure.
I mean, Dark Confidant and Bob, right?
Yeah.
Snapcaster Mage. Countering Snapcaster Mage is awesome, too. It's so brutal in a Blue Mirror to, like, Spell Snare their Snapcaster Mage, and they go to, like, counters, you know, next turn they, you know, cast another Snap, or they try to counter your spell with a Negate, and you're like, Snap, Snare it. Oh. So brutal.
Yep. So you should take a page from the Ryan Overturf book and just play 4 Spell Snares, because you're always going to want one. You'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
I mean, that's interesting. His opinion is controversial there, because I think the general consensus is you play, like, 2, but he's argued for a long time you played 0 or 4, and I can see merits to all the arguments. I think generally what you got to do is just, like, look at how many 2s are being played prominently. How bad are the 2s for you? You know, if they resolve, like, are you just going to lose if this 2 resolves? And in the case of Storm, you might. So,
yeah, I mean,
Cranial Plating, you might just be dead.
I mean, Eidolon,
Eidolon of the Great Revel,
not great for a lot of blue decks. I mean, I don't think it's not splashable, right? Like, we're not there.
No, you don't generally splash one. 1-mana spells that you kind of want to play on turn one. I mean, the other thing about Spell Snare forever is that, you know, it's kind of people have called it the blue Bird of Paradise, where it's not really Birds of Paradise at all. But when you're on the draw, it kind of keeps you you know, at mana parity by getting you that huge tempo play from your, you know, first land on the draw, which is a big deal about Spell Snare. I mean, it has been keeping blue mages in the game for a long time.
There you go.
But
yeah, I mean, that's really it. You know, like I said, for us, these were the cards that were bequothed.
I think it's bequeathed, right? Bequeathed.
It probably is. I don't know. We're always happy to sort of help spread the word on a new set, and yeah, so we will keep doing it as long as they keep giving them to us. And
I mean, I'm excited I got to share Spell Snare, man. I've cast a lot of these. It's one of my favorite cards. It's definitely one of my favorite Snapcaster targets. And Beast Within's sweet, too. Beast Within's a really cool card. That one I have less good feelings for, because generally it's been blowing me out.
It's been used against you, yeah.
Yeah,
I understand that.
Not a card that I can Spell Snare. It usually destroys my Celestial Colonnade or Creeping Tar Pit or... You know, Steam Vent that just came into play tapped, and then...
Oh, rip Steam Vent.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, Beast Within's particularly brutal, too, because it's instant speed, so it's like, from the blue deck's perspective, you leave up 2 mana against Living End, you think you got him, you got your negate, you're ready to go, and they, like, cast Beast Within targeting your land end of turn, you're like, we may have made a mistake here.
Yeah. Ruh-roh.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's that. Go grab some Battle Bond, grab a friend, or make a friend, or...
Both valid options.
Make your LGS pair somebody up with you. Try to make a friend. Try to make a friend first. If that doesn't work, I guess go with a friend. And if you can't go with a friend, then try and make a friend. And if you can't make a friend, then have your LGS force somebody to be your friend.
Temporarily. No, try to make a friend, man. This is an awesome opportunity for it. This is the type of set where it's like a really good opportunity to meet somebody, you know, in a not weird, pretty casual scenario, right? Where it's not, it doesn't feel forced. Like you're just playing Magic. Sure. You're just going to go have fun, you know? So
yeah.
Yep. It's an awesome opportunity. It's fun.
Very good social opportunity indeed. So don't squander it. Some summer sets are usually small and they're not here for a long time. So, get out there and get it while you can. There were a couple of high profile reprints that you can sort of dig around for. You don't even have to dig. You can just go on Twitter and there's thousands of them.
No, this set looks amazing, man. This set is like a commander player's dream.
Yep.
There's definitely some big legacy staples here. There are certainly some modern playables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know.
And this is also, we have very little, at the time of this recording, we actually have very little of the set out, because the previews basically just started yesterday. So we're recording this on Tuesday. The release date for our previews is tomorrow, which will be today when you're listening to this. And that's only three days worth of stuff, and we've still got the whole set to go. So I'm excited to see what else they put in here. I'm sure that there are at least a couple of other modern cards that are waiting in the wings, in addition to the ones that they have already revealed and the ones that we were so graciously able to preview for you right now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's it. No spice rack, no nothing. Boom. In, out, unsuspected and undetected.
Yep, we'll see you guys next week.